Hello, Catman O?
What's up, dude?
Hey, are you ready to do that podcast?
What? Oh no, I'm late. Guess who's back?
Oh, well, I didn't even tell you bye. Did you hang up?
Uh-oh.
Let me hang that up there. And I was recording. That's okay. Alrighty, welcome back to another podcast this lovely, lovely morning. I hope everybody's doing as good as I am.
Like we said in the last podcast, send us your numbers of your friends or people you just want to get back on and we'll prank call them.
Just send it. No, nobody did that.
No one else does that in their podcast.
So, Anyways, how are you doing this morning, Catman O?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just a little sweaty from the run, you know?
Yeah. Alrighty, so Sony officially confirms PlayStation 5 again as PS4 sales near 100 million. Ooh. So, are they saying we could get a PS5?
I'm pretty sure. I seen a video. I was like, you know, scrolling through YouTube one day. No, not YouTube's not sponsored or anything like that. But I was scrolling through YouTube and I found a video by Ali A, and he's talking about how PS5, so I'm pretty sure it's gonna, you know, confirms that it's gonna, you know, Sony officially confirms PS5 again, and I'm pretty sure when we get PS5, because I think we are going to get it, but when we do get it, like, we're going to get a whole new generation of it. I grew up from Xbox, honestly, so I don't know that much about PS, like, PlayStation.
So, I've got a question, though. Do you think PlayStation 5 will continue with the VR, or do you think it'll just add on to the VR, but much, much better?
I feel like they're going to add on to the VR and make it much, much better. Or, if Xbox, creates,
A new system.
They're probably gonna add VR.
I feel like Xbox should do that, like with Skyrim and Minecraft. Like Samsung's Gear VR already has Minecraft VR.
Because it's just like how there is Apex Legends and Fortnite. Apex Legends,
I feel like they should do a VR for a battle royale.
But
That would be cool, you know?
Do you know how Fortnite added the spawn bans? Mm-hmm. It was originally from Apex. So I think Xbox is going to copy what PS4 did. They're going to add their own VR, maybe. Because there are a lot of people who compete in everything. Like for instance, PUBG versus Fortnite or Fortnite versus Apex. Like, all of those Battle Royale games that go against each other, I feel like it's going to be, like, those competitors. Because there's McDonald's and there's Burger King. Do you know how they compete?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're gonna like copy each other.
I
think they're gonna try doing VR for the next console they release.
Alrighty, so as we continue on this talk about PlayStation 5, please note that none of this is sponsored. I just hope you guys know that. So anyways, let's continue on with the podcast, shall we? So Sony acknowledges it's in its earnings report that it experienced an increase in development expenses due to work on a next-generation console. Now, for those of you that don't know, PlayStation 5 was announced, about 4 months ago?
I don't really know, because, you know, like I said before, I'm not that much of a PlayStation person. I'm more of an Xbox, so I keep up with, like, Xbox, X, like, anything like that. I just keep up with nothing but Xbox, really.
Alrighty, so following in the first details about PlayStation 5 announced last week by lead system architect Mark Kearney, Sony has now officially confirmed a next-generation console in its company's latest earnings report. Sony said its gaming division experienced an increase in development expenses for the next-generation console. That actually is all Sony had to say on the subject of the PS5. However, you know, things like that, when they announce stuff like that, it gets the community hyped up. I'm sure you know how that is.
Yeah.
So, according to Kotaku Jason's Schreier, Sony's decision to seemingly randomly announce the PS5 was not completely random. Schreier says that one reason is because Sony just started to deliver PS5 dev kits to third-party studios and they wanted to get ahead of leaks. Also, in the earnings report, Sony announced that it shipped 17.8 million PS4 consoles during the fiscal year ended March 31st. That's down from 19 million during the year prior. And all the PS4 has now sold 96.8 million consoles worldwide since its release in 2013. Alrighty, so as I was saying, this went worldwide since 2013. So back again is PS4 sales have been falling annually for years now, which makes sense given the console is so old. For the current fiscal year, Sony expects PS4 sales to drop yet again, falling to 16 million. It was also confirmed in the earnings report that Sony has 36.4 million paying PlayStation Plus subscribers. Sony's digital offerings are doing very well. PlayStation Network revenue, including full game downloads, DLC, PS Now, and PlayStation Plus, amounted to over 12.8 billion for the year, which is a new yearly record. Sony's video game division overall, called Game and Network Services, saw revenue of 20.9 billion. PS4 sales dropped, as mentioned, but this decline was partially offset by more PS4 game sales and PlayStation Plus subscriptions. Some of the numbers and analysis here was compiled by Nico Partners senior analyst Daniel Ahmed.
Decor, how do you feel that, that the drop of the PlayStation has been going on for years and years, that it's been falling from, like, 19 million to 16 million, and it just keeps on dropping?
You know, honestly, I've never been a PlayStation kind of guy, except for since when they just recently did the, PlayStation VR stuff, like,
yeah,
I think they released their Ace Combat 5, I'm not 100% sure, but once, they announced that Ace Combat 5 was gonna be VR, it kind of got my attention, you know?
Yeah, when, PlayStation unleashed the VR, I think that's when, like, you know, people started playing it again, because it's, like, such a new thing. Like, that we've pretty much, like, we rarely have anymore.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really bad quality. Now, we can actually, like, play games. Not, like, VR chat, but it's, like, you know, how.
Like, the Batman Arkham, yep. And then the Spider-Man VR. And
yeah, you can play games, like, with the VR now. It was, like, people were, like, wow, we have something new that we've never seen before. Let's just keep on playing, and maybe they'll, you know, the more we play, maybe the more games they release for it. Like, Battle Royale games, for instance. Everyone's starting to play them. Maybe they'll add more. You know, like, I know they've already added some Battle Royale games. Maybe they can, like, make their own version of Fortnite for it or something.
Or, like, Battle Royale VR.
Yes,
Battle Royale. Where you use your controllers as the gun, and you have to use both controllers to hold said gun and to pick up a gun, like, but a Scar, for instance. And, like, you actually make the aiming motion in your VR headset and stuff. Or, like, to aim while holding a gun, you just look around. And that, in my opinion, would look extremely good.
So, PlayStation or Xbox, if you're watching this, or, I mean, not watching this, but, like, if you're
listening to this podcast, please take our advice and make a Battle Royale VR, or just a VR in general.
Since we're fans of VIs, we're just trying to help you guys out a little bit.
But, anyways, that ends it for this segment. When we come back, we will be talking about the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game and that community. So, I guess I'll be back in a jiffy. Alrighty, and we are now back with Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game.
Yes!
So, we are going to talk about the news in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game, as well as some updates and events along with their products. So, Dueling is set to take a dark turn in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game, TCG, as Shadows of the Past collide with the Umbra of Untold Futures. Two tremendous booster sets pit time-honored strategies against Modern Magic and Might. First, Konami Digital Entertainment, BV Konami, presents Dark Neo Storm, and second core booster set of 2019 and a new beginning for more than 30 different fan-favorite themes. Then the battle for Speed Duel dominance continues in Speed Duel, Attack from the Deep. Joey Wheeler and Seto Kaiba reignite their storied feud, and Mako Tsunami emerges from the watery depths. To join the fight, whether you are an advanced format duelist or a speed dueling star, untold surprises await this May. So, I want to talk to you guys about the Speed Duel. It's not really my favorite product, but I am going to say this once and one time only. Speed Duel, if you want to do Speed Duel, just download Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links from the App Store, honestly.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it is. You got three monster zones, three spell zones. You know, you get a deck of 30 cards, three different skills you can use for a deck, and you got a 10-card extra deck. So,
but I have one question. Why is Yu-Gi-Oh! 6 and up? Why can't it just be, 3 and up or something?
Because people that are, 3 years old usually aren't able to strategize.
I know, but probably, someone who, maybe if you learn at a really, really young age, maybe you'll, be better than people. It's,
true.
It's a little weird that it's 6 and up. At least 5. Because it's weird how it has to be 6.
Yeah, yeah.
If you really look
so, in May, the next core booster set arrives to a thunderous debut. Dark Neostorm elevates over 30 different themes from the early days of dueling, all the way to the most modern eras. Dark Neostorm isn't just a blast from the past, it's a turbocharged tumult, encompassing every era of dueling. Xyz enthusiasts will want a new Firewall Xyz Dragon, the latest high-powered dragon from Yu-Gi-Oh! Reigns, World Chalice Crawler, Mech Knight, Crusadia, Orcist, and Guard Dragon all make an appearance in Dark Neostorm alongside a brand new Nightmare that can wipe the field clean of Link monsters. Duelists can get a new preview of Dark Neostorm at Sneak Peek scheduled for April 27th April 28th at participating official tournament stores. Duelists can find more information and list of locations at https://www.yugioh-card.com/uk/events/detail.php?id=6200. Dark Neostorm debuts May 2nd and a total of 100 new cards, 48 commons, 20 rares, 14 super rares, 10 ultra rares, and 8 secret rares. Now, to me, guys, that is a pretty darn good booster pack, if you ask me, because there's 48 common cards, 20 rares, 14 super rares, 10 ultra rares, and 8 secret rares. So, yeah.
If you're wondering why I'm not talking, it's because I don't usually, talk about any kind of card games because I don't really play them. I'm not really around the kind of card games. I want to learn them. It's just I don't know nothing about them.
Yeah, not everybody is. So, the next chapter of Speed Dueling is upon us. Speed Duel Attack from the Deep follows March's Speed Duel Arena of Lost Souls, introducing another 5 skill cards and 45 more cards that are new to Speed Dueling. While Yugi and the Shizu received new skill cards in Speed Duel Arena of Lost Souls, it's time for Seto Kaiba to even the score, taking inspiration from his famous Virus trap cards. Kaiba strikes powerful cards from his opponent's deck to sabotage their strategy. But Joey Wheeler scores a new skill card too, Side the Ultimate Underdog, and you will unlock the power to transcend luck once per duel. With your back to the wall, Joey lets you choose your fate and turn the entire duel around in one shot. Maybe. Need a new hero? Mako Tsunami crashes straight into Speed Dueling with the army dredged from the depths of the Seven Seas, and he's bringing 3 new skill cards with him. Speed Duelists will also find powerful cards useful for any deck. The classic Magician of Faith lets you reuse your best spell cards. Blade Knight mounts solo attacks on your opponent, and Dust Tornado offers easy spell and trap destruction. Whether your path in Speed Dueling may be Speed Duel Attack from the Deep can up your game. Speed Duel Attack from the Deep booster sets surfs into stores on May 30th with 45 new cards to Speed Dueling, plus 5 new skill cards, 34 commons, 8 super rares, and 8 ultra rares. Now, to me, that is actually pretty good. So we're finally seeing more Speed Dueling support and other stuff to go alongside the Speed Dueling community. So yeah. What's your commentary on that with the ratios of the new cards?
Honestly, I heard nothing. I was too busy scrolling on Facebook.
Oh. Alrighty. So, more Konami news and announcement details of 2019 Yu-Gi-Oh! Here we have the National Qualifier Championships. So, Konami Digital Entertainment BV has today announced details from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game World Championship Qualifier, WCQ for short, National Championships taking place across Europe and the Middle East and Africa on multiple dates throughout May 2019 and June 2019. Duelists from each region will compete for the title of National Champion in their respective countries. So, I don't really have any commentary on that due to the fact that I've never been to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Championship. So
me neither.
The top performing duelists from the WCQ National Championships will receive numerous prizes, including game mats, prize cards, trophies, and other exclusive items. Each national national champion will also earn the place in the WCQ European Championship, where they will be flown to Utrecht, Netherlands, to complete against other duelists from 28th to 30th June of 2019. A VIP package is also available to winning duelists, granting access to additional perks such as a designated seating area, access to their own pairings board, priority registration, and more. Taking place alongside the WCQ National Championships is the WCQ Dragon Duel National Championship, created for duelists born in 2006 or later. The Dragon Duel National Championship offers prizes similar to those in main events. The Yu-Gi-Oh! World Championship is an event that determines the world's number one duelist across three categories. Find out more about the 2019 Yu-Gi-Oh! World Championships here. https://www.konami.com/Yu-Gi-Oh!/Yu-Gi-Oh!/World Championships/2019/EN/. So, that is it for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Section, and I will be back in a jiffy. And
some NT.
Thank you.
Alrighty, so we are back. Hope you guys enjoyed that little music segment here.
Yep.
We're gonna do that in, like, the midway of our podcasts.
Yep.
So, we got some interesting news for you guys. Fortnite and PUBG are now banned in Iraq. So, the Iraqi government is concerned about the negative effect the games have on youth.
Yes. The government of Iraq has voted to ban the popular Battle Royale games, Fortnite and PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, or PUBG, because of their
detrimental influence on the population
of Reuters reports. The ban was put into place due to negative effects caused by some electronic games on the health.
So, culture and security of Iraqi society, including societal and moral threats to children and youth. So, Maqtada al-Sadr, I don't know how to pronounce that, guys. Shiite cleric and former head of Mahdi Army Militia that battled government and U.S.-led occupation forces from 2004 to 2008, warned that PUBG is addictive and called on the government to ban it last week. What will you gain if you killed one or two people in PUBG? Is it not a game for intelligence or a military game that provides you with the correct way to fight? Al-Sadr wrote in a statement released last week.
It's literally a battle royale game. It's just for fun.
So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a little stupid that they're banning a game because it's literally the kids are just having fun. And it says on here, literally, people are angry that they can't play Fortnite. It's literally a popular game that's really addictive. It, like, they're probably, like, moving from Iraq right now.
I don't think they'd move just from their home country just to play a game.
No, but, like, there's this really big gamer, right? He's, like, Twitch streaming everything in Iraq. You know, he's, like, really popular or something.
Is he really?
No, I'm just making something up. Like, what happens if there's this really popular... What happens if it was Ninja who lived in Iraq? And was literally playing Fortnite. He would have to move if he wanted to play those games. Because next thing you know, Apex Legends is going to get banned. Freaking, what's next? No, next thing you know, freaking the most funnest games are like Roblox or Minecraft. Like family-friendly games are gonna get banned. It's just a little stupid that they're banning something just because oh, we can shoot guns. We're banning you now.
Right. But the reaction to the ban was widely negative, according to the report, but not because people are angry that they can't play Fortnite. They may be, but the real issue is that Iraqis apparently see the ban as an emblematic of the government's misplaced priorities, while Iraq continues to struggle with sectarian violence, inadequate infrastructure, and political instability. The country's parliament has only managed to pass one piece of legislation since sitting in September 2018, a 2019 federal budget law that was passed in January. The Iraqi ban follows shortly behind a ban on PUBG in Nepal, although Fortnite is still okay there as far as I know. The police in the Indian city of Ahmedabad also imposed a ban on PUBG Mobile, although that has since been lifted.
At least, like, some people can play the games.
Right, right, and I'm not saying that they can't, it's just, I feel like they shouldn't have banned the game, you know?
I mean, like, maybe if it's that bad, just have parents ground them or something. If, like, it's actually being negative to them, you don't have to ban the game literally from a whole country or, like, just one little spot you live in. Because it's... Do you know how mad I would be if they would have banned Fortnite in the United States?
I would be pretty mad, too, because Fortnite is a big influence on gamers, and it's a fun way, like, you know, it's kind of calming in a way.
Yeah, I have bad anxiety, so the thing I do to calm down is literally, since I'm a gamer, I play games, and just to calm me down.
So, as we come to the conclusion of today's podcast, I want to talk about this dude doing classical piano covers of all the levels in Super Smash Bros. Melee. Let's take a look at what this guy has to play.
Hopefully this is not copyrighted.
Right. Super Smash Bros. Melee menu 1. Choose your character.
He's actually really good.
Yeah, he is.
In 20 years, I don't see myself doing that.
I know, right? Okay, let's turn this up here. Wow. For a classical piano cover, this is pretty good.
He's really talented.
Actually, what I think of this is actually pretty good. I don't have any complaints. So, this guy goes by the name of Bear Keys, and a self-proclaimed child prodigy has recently decided to dive into the world of video game music, specifically the GameCube version of Smash Brothers. His most recent entry is a classical piano rendition of music from the game's Break the Targets Challenge. Before that, he took stabs at Corneria, Final Final Destination, the Fire Emblem stage, and the Fountain of Dreams from Kirby. He's been posting his work on the Smash Bros. Subreddit, where the community's been eating it up. Some have asked him to make an appearance at SmashCon later this month, but he wasn't even aware of it until recently, suggesting he might be able to show up at next year's.
I want to see this guy, though. He's also, not only that, he can also play the Super Smash Bros. Melee Breaks the Target.
So, Berkey says he's never been to a Smash tournament either, although he might attend one of those at some point too. So far, so far it's just a musical thing, he said in a recent comment. But one of my students might take me to a Melee match. I plan to main Donkey Kong since there's no bear in the game. So, let's take a look at Classical Piano, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Break the Target.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Me too.
This is a minute and 38 seconds long.
So that was what he has for the Break the Target. So there's not much good sheet music out there for the video game music, especially in games less regarded in the sound department, like Smash. Fortunately for him, Barry Keys has perfect pitch, so instead, he gets by with simply listening to the music and doing his best to recreate it from scratch, which, in my opinion, he does really well on that.
I agree.
By all accounts, he seems to be pretty good at it. Here he is playing Melee's menu music. Barry Keys appears to draw a lot of inspiration from the YouTube keyboardist Ronald J. Keys, and started his foray into video game music, doing covers of some of his stuff, including a version of the ambient water music from Donkey Kong Country. There's something particularly solemn and extra meditative about the track that you can get except by watching Barry Keys perform it. So,
Decor, I have one question for you before you say what you have to say. What song do you want this guy to play?
I honestly don't know. I've never really played Smash before.
It don't have to be Smash. It can be like any Nintendo game. Like,
oh, I would like to see him do his best to, if he could, just try to recreate most of the Mario levels, honestly.
How cool would it be if he, like, made every boss music?
That actually would be cool. But anyways, guys and gals, that is a wrap for today's podcast. Tune in tomorrow for the next.
Peace out.
Bye.